We started last week, and I'm just going to finish it up this week, about single-minded. It's an outline that's in your bulletin if you want to follow along with. And we started last week reading from Corinthians what Paul had to say about singleness. And what I want to do is just kind of give you a heads up of where we're going. Relationships are important. Can you agree with me on that? Okay, you're going to help me preach this a little bit today. And I believe that if you've ever questioned relationships, are they really that big of a deal? Take it back to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son for you and for me, so that we could understand eternal relationships, but he wants us to have earthly ones as well. And are they going to be perfect? Probably not. Probably not. So what do we do? And I want to talk, we talked about the sweet spot of relationships. We started, and I talked to you about single-minded. What we started last week is we're aiming our barrels at two things. Number one, yes, there's something I believe the Word of God wants to speak to you as singles. If you're here today and you are single, you're a young man, a young woman, whether you're middle-aged or whether you're beyond the middle-aged. If you're single and you're saying, I want there to be significant relationships in my life, that's great. The wanting that you have is there for a reason, and God's placed it there. But making sure that you're pursuing that in a right way is of utmost importance. Otherwise, you end up looking for love in all the wrong places, right? You guys know the song. You look for it in the wrong places. So how can you have the kind of relationships that fill the void, but I don't have to be some religious, fanatical, weirdo kind of, God never asked anybody to do that. He created you to be you. Now, the fact that you're weird sometimes, I'm weird sometimes, that's a whole different story, right? But you see, there's an understanding we've got to have is we want to address the way the world defines it. We started last week with that, but then there's also the way God's view, the way God defines singleness. So I want to say something to you that are here and you're single, but I also want to say something to every one of us that we started last week, that God's definition of singleness is different than the world's definition. If you ask somebody, what does it mean to be single? I told you I polled some people. The average people said it means to not have a significant other, to not be in a relationship. Everybody said it means to be alone, which brought us to the discussion we needed to have of understanding the difference between being single and the difference between being alone. Being alone means separated. There's no connection. There's no engagement. There's nothing happening. But singleness, if you were to look it up and define it, it uses words like unique. It uses words that talk about defining who you are as a whole person. So we kind of came up with our definition, or at least I did, that to be single in the eyes of God means to be whole and complete, lacking in nothing. Because that's what singleness is. But we've taken those definitions and we've twisted them around. So last week, just as a review, we talked about being single. We talked about, if you remember, there's the world's view and there's God's view. And we started into just a number of things. And the first thing we talked about was that singleness is a myth. And because the world has one thing to say, but God has something else to say. And singleness starts with, first of all, figuring out who you are in Christ Jesus. That's where it starts. Because I challenged you last week and I said, I'll go so far as to say this. If you don't know who you are as a single person, unique, complete, whole, lacking in nothing, then you should wait to get married or enter into any kind of a relationship, because what in the world are you going to bring to it if you don't know who you are? Too many people are getting married today trying to put a Band-Aid on cancer, so to speak, thinking that that's going to patch it up and make it better. But the reality is, if you don't know how to address the void that's in your heart, then any relationship you have thereafter is going to have issues. Now, relationships are going to have issues anyway, right? That's just a part of life. That's a part of living. God is not saying that we have to be perfect, but we must be in this process of knowing what it means to come to this place and say, Lord, how can I be unique and complete and whole, lacking in nothing? Now, with that in mind, what's next? Does that mean I stay single? Does that mean I get married? And so we went over to 1 Corinthians. We looked at what Paul had to say. And Paul basically gave us some advice. And he said, listen, and I'm just going to summarize it because we kind of broke it down last week. He said, if you're single, stay single. If you're married, stay married. But if you're single and want to get married, there's nothing wrong with that. Just know it's going to take a lot of work. Okay, is that fair enough? Okay, I'm summarizing it a little bit. And he said, if you're married, stay married. Don't desire to be single thinking that if you get out of the relationship, life is all of a sudden going to get better because all you're doing is hopping out of one frying pan and you're going to start looking for another one. And if you're single, don't look to marriage as a fix-all, end-all, I'll never have a problem again. If you think that as a single person, I encourage you to find a married couple and ask them if that is true or not. And they'll give you some realities about, and they better be married for more than 1 year before you ask them that question. Because that's not going to fix everything. And so Paul's not for singleness, against singleness. He has an issue. You know, I always hate election years. Because when we get to this point, everything's a debate, right? Or we start thinking that way, and we're so tired of the commercials. Are you ready for those to disappear? I just don't care anymore, you know, is kind of how you feel. I do care. But, you know, when those commercials come on. But Paul's not saying, you know what, I think I should tell you this and you. No, he's just saying singleness is of utmost importance. And that means, whether that means in your relationship, if you're comfortable, confident, being single the way the world defines it, meaning having no significant other and I don't need to be married, then great. But even when you're married, he's saying, understand what singleness is. The world defines it as whether you're dating or not, married or not. But God's view is are you whole and complete, lacking in nothing? Do you know who you are in Christ Jesus? Do you know that you have everything you need to accomplish what God set before you? And do you know that you can't do it all, but you can through the power of Christ? So the question is do you understand your singleness? Do you understand how powerful that is? And then when you understand that, you might, just might, be ready for some relationships. Now you might say, well, Pastor, that's some pretty tough challenges you've given there. That's because I've been married for a number of years. I tell you how many, but I'm afraid I'm going to guess the wrong number. So, and we've shared, we've been very transparent and open, I believe, about the fact that we jumped into relationship thinking that we had it all figured out, only to discover we didn't know a darn thing, you know? And there's times where I can look back and see areas where I thought marriage was going to fill this void. And she was going to, and people say this, and I get it. I'm not trying to make fun of anything, but you know, she completes me. Okay, I get it, but sometimes that's like eating too much chocolate. You just want to go, bleh, you know. And what I mean by that is I'm not making fun of it. Like if you've ever said, he completes me, she completes me. Okay, I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. But what the Word of God is saying is, they're not to be your completer. I am. Now, you can become whole through me, and you can both enjoy that together, but she's, can I pick on you? You don't mind? You're my only wife, so. She's not my savior. She's not my healer. She's not my comforter, but yet she can comfort me in life when I'm going through a hard time. She can help me out when I'm sick, and she can be a part of that process. But she's ultimately not the one that meets all of those needs. Well, who's supposed to do that? Jesus. I'm not her savior, though I tried to be for many years. She would have an issue, a problem, and she'd share it with me. She's not even done talking. I'm just waiting for her to quit talking so I can tell her what she needs to do because I have all the answers, right? See, relationship's going to take work. But it's when we both said, you know what? I think neither of us know really who we are. And it's when we humbled our heart and it's when we decided to deal with our own stuff with Jesus. Then, whether she loved me or not, I had to know that Jesus did, that I loved him and that I was right there. She had to do that for her. And that's when health comes into the relationship. Single person, if you're here and you're looking for a relationship, singleness means that you are whole and complete, lacking in nothing, and you have that relationship with God so that when he brings that person into your life, you can be 100% all of you, giving that to God and giving that to others in your life, sharing in relationship. Married person, are you here today and you're saying, I don't need to hear this, I'm married. So no, you need to hear this because maybe, just maybe, some of the challenges and the hiccups or the hurdles that you're facing are because you're looking to the person to complete you or heal you or fulfill you, and that's not that person's role. That's Jesus's role. And I'll guarantee you that if you will recalibrate that back to God, then that flow will happen like a straw. And I used to do my kids all the time. We'd be at McDonald's and they'd be drinking their drink, and I'd reach over and I'd pinch the straw shut. You know, I just did it to annoy them, that's all. It's part of a dad's job. It's in their job description. Annoy your kids. And I'm pretty darn good at it. Just ask my kids. And they'd be drinking and I'd pinch that straw and they'd be like, knock it off, Dad. You know, when you're looking to others to complete you and fulfill and fill and all those kind of words, what happens is simply this, is you end up crimping off the ability for God to bring that full blessing into your life. But when you recalibrate it, the flow happens. The blessing comes once again. The healing rushes back. You and I must be a people that make sure we prioritize that properly. Otherwise, we're going to get that wrong. We're going to get that wrong. So how do we do this? We're some people here that are single, and maybe you're looking for a relationship, or whether you are or not, it starts with even us as married folk to understand that how do we become whole and complete, lacking in nothing. Having that, by the end of today, hopefully, we have a fairly solid foundation so that in the next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about marriage. Then we're going to talk about those that have gone through separations. What does the Bible have to say? We're going to talk about life after divorce. What does the Bible have to say about that? Because the Bible has something to say about it. We're going to talk about parenting. You see, you can't build those things on a weak foundation. Remember the Leaning Tower of Pisa last week? 179-foot building, 10-foot foundation. Pisa means marshy, kind of gave us a clue as to why maybe the tower's leaning. It's a miracle not that we see a tower that's leaning, it's a miracle that we see a tower that's still standing. And sometimes in relationships, we try to build 179-foot tall relationships on a 10-foot foundation in the marshy grounds. There's no solid ground. And so the challenge today is simply this, that we build a strong foundation. We become unique and whole, lacking in nothing because of our connection with Jesus, and then we start building and working on the marriage. And as the weeks go on, what we're going to do is we really wanted to be able to have, we were going to try to bring in like a marriage conference and then bring in maybe like a parenting class and do some things. But because of COVID and how things have went, nobody's going anywhere right now yet. And so we're going to just look for unique ways, because I believe that COVID doesn't stop the flow of the Holy Spirit. How about you? Yeah? Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to figure out ways that we can get tools into your hands, tools into our hands, so that we can, whether that means podcasts, whether that means other little links that we can connect you with, and start building that foundation together, because there is nobody here that has the perfect marriage. There is nobody here that's the perfect parent. There's nobody here that's the perfect child, the perfect student, the perfect employee. We are all people that are under construction. And God is working in our hearts and our lives. And the one thing that he said, I value above all else, is relationships. That's why the enemy is attacking relationships. He's going to do whatever he can. If he can't destroy you in a physical sense, then he's going to just at least try to destroy your joy and your happiness. He's going to try to take those things away from you. But that's not who you are in Christ Jesus. But if you don't know that, then you're not truly single. When you understand who you are in Christ Jesus, now you've got something to bring to the relationship. You may not have it all figured out. You may not even know what it is. There's times where my wife was thoroughly pleased and happy with something I did, and I was like, you're welcome. And I go in the other room and go, what did I do? You know? Maybe I just stumbled across it, but you know what? That's okay. That's right. You learn. God likes to hit a moving target. Did you know that? If you're moving and growing and learning and feeding yourself spiritually, he will fill you. So don't just sit back and become a couch potato Christian, one that just says, you know, feed me, give me. Now, be one that gets involved. So over these next few weeks, as we talk about marriage, now I know when I bring up marriage, sometimes I don't like to warn. I used to like to not warn people we were going to talk about specific topics, because I know some of you, when you hear we're going to address marriage, some people cringe and they pucker up, you know. Oh no, I've come down with the 2-week flu. And I know there's others here that are like, yes, this will be great, you know. But the goal is simply this. Just be open to what the Holy Spirit has to say and learn. Learn what he has to show you. So let me just kind of complete what we started last week. We said there's four things that we need to know about singleness. And the first thing that I addressed was simply that singleness is a myth. It's a myth. You know, remember the Mythbusters? They go out and you hear that singleness, you know. The way the world defines it, the Bible never really talks about about it in these regards. Back in Genesis, in the garden, when God created Adam, he said, it is not good for man to be single, right? No. Yeah. He says it's not good for man to be alone. He never said it's not good for man to be single, and when he uses man in that sense, woman as well, but she hadn't come along yet, you know, in the process. He said it's not good for man to be alone. Eve was created in the midst of that completed Adam. And so, I told you earlier, I've said that before, but now you get my understanding of there can be a completion. I get it when we're just talking that way. But what happens is too many times we get our eyes off the wrong thing, and instead of completing anything, we start competing more than anything. And that's not what he's come for. He says relationships are so important. And know that singleness is a myth, and I went so far as to say that I don't believe anybody should get married until they first of all discover how to be single. And I know a few people afterwards were like, did you mean, and that's what I love. I love it when people come ask me questions because they're thinking. And that's what I hope I'm provoking within in you today. They said, if I shouldn't get married till I'm single, I'm already single before I get married. So what you're saying is I should figure out who I am in Christ. Absolutely, you got it. And I was so thrilled. See, you got to figure out who you are in Christ. That's what singleness is. And he did say it's not good for man to be alone. So he said, I'm going to create a helper comparable to him, the Bible says. So he didn't look at Adam and say, Adam, you know, I created you. You're in the garden. And good Lord, you need help. Whew. What was I thinking? Now, that's kind of the picture we paint because we like to laugh about it. And guys will even laugh about it, you know, and that. But that's not at all what the Bible said. The Bible said Adam was just fine, but he needed, it wasn't good to be alone. And so he said, I'm going to give him some spiritual Somanex, put him to sleep, and I'm going to take out a rib, and out of him I'm going to fashion something that happens so people can understand singleness, yes, is something that is about wholeness and completeness, but there is also something to be said about the fact that relationships are good and healthy. The intimacy that happens between a married couple is very parallel and parallel to a relationship, an intimacy you're to have with Christ, a closeness, a depth that you have with one another. With one another. So singleness, the way the world defines it, is really a myth. And then I said, number two, singleness is a choice. It's a choice. You must choose it. Now, I'm not talking as much about the world's definition. I'm going to choose never to marry. I'm talking about you must choose to be unique, complete, whole, lacking in nothing, because it's not going to choose you. God's already given it to you. He said, here's the gift. I've given it to you. Now choose it. And you and I get to make the choice. We get to make choices every day, don't we? How many of you picked out your clothes this morning? Yeah, you chose them, right? Except for me, usually. I have my wife pick them out for me sometimes. I'm happy to inform you today, I dressed myself. Usually I show up in the morning and there's clothes on the dresser waiting for me and I'm like, this is amazing. You know, I have no problem with that, but there were no clothes, so I picked out my own clothes and I think I did a pretty good job. Thank you very much. We make choices all day long. Where are we going to eat? This is going to be the worst one when we get done here. What do you want to do for lunch? Where do you want to go? I don't know. I don't care. Whatever you want. We can't, you know, we can make choices day in and day out, but then there's times we can't, you know? And when I'm talking about singleness being a choice, you must choose it. You can make good choices. You can make poor choices. You know, I've showed you this. I don't have the picture with me today. I looked for it real quick. If you saw me on my phone while Gary was talking, I wasn't trying to be rude. I was scrolling for this photo of my son back when he was maybe 5 years old and we were in California. And we went there and it was hotter than hot. And they have those misters. Do you remember those? You ever see those? Shh. And so when you walk through it, it cools you off but doesn't completely drench you. Well, Seth saw that and he wanted to go and he wanted to get wet. And I said, don't do it. And he's like, but Dad, I'm so hot, you know, doing all that. And so I'm like, dude, I said, here's the thing. If you go stand in front of that thing, you're going to get completely wet. And we've got hours left of this day in Disneyland. And you're going to be wet. You're eventually going to get cold. And you're going to be miserable. But was Dad right? No, he had to go stand in the mister. So he stood in the mister. And I saw him. And I thought, well, you know, he's digging his own grave. So there you go. And he come back. And he looked at me for a little while like, see, I feel better. And I'm doing good. But about an hour later, he's like, Dad, I'm cold. You know how that is. Even when you're in the sun, because you're so wet. And I told him, I said, you're going to be wet all day. He's like, Dad, I'm wet and I'm miserable. And I said, I told you this. And there's this picture I've got of him just standing like this. And it's the greatest picture of disappointment. I love it. I mean, so he's standing there. And that's when I took my phone out and I was like, you know. And he's just standing there like this because he's like, doggone it. And I know what was going through his head that he would never admit and still probably won't to this day. My dad was right. I should have listened to my dad. My dad is awesome. I'm sure he was thinking that. He's so strong and I wish I could be like him when I grow up. Okay, maybe I'm going a little too far, but I'm sure he was thinking, oh, my dad was right. How many times has the Lord spoke to us, but he says, it's your choice. You can choose this way or you can choose this way. And by the way, God says, choose this. And we go, this looks funner. This looks, it's here. I don't have to wait. And sometimes we'll choose it only to find out later. We stand there and go, oh. You see, singleness, when I'm talking to you about it this morning from the Word of God, I'm less interested, my heart, less interested in the status of your relationship, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, fiance, whatever, and more concerned with, are you complete and whole, lacking in nothing? Because if you have everything, if your focus is on Jesus and you desire a relationship, wherever you go, you will have challenges, but you will always have that Holy Spirit and you'll always have the backing of the Lord, so you'll be able to make it. You'll be able to get through it. So it starts there. And if you understand that and you don't enter into a relationship, God will give you what you need while you're in the midst of your waiting. Or maybe you're here today and you're choosing to say, I don't want to get married or date. I want to stay single. Paul would agree with that and say, well, God bless you, because here's what Paul says in Corinthians. He says, it's greater for you if you stay single, so then you can focus on all the things that God has planned for you, and he's going to use you in mighty ways. But we get this all confused, and we forget that number one, that we have a choice, but we've got to focus on, what does God say? You know, people ask me this question sometimes, and because I was thinking back to Adam and Eve. And you'll notice when you read through Scripture that there's a pattern. And the pattern was that God presented woman to the man, brought Eve to the man. And though Eve was presented, Adam still had to make a choice, right? He still had to make a choice, which brings up an interesting point. And here's the question people will ask me. Isn't there the one perfect person out there to marry? And, you know, God has that one perfect person, and we just have to go choose them, or we have to go find them. You know, is there just that one person out there that God has? And my answer to that question, and this is Jim talking, okay? This did not come from I'm necessarily saying from the Bible, but here's how I would answer it. I would say no to that question. Because if God chose a mate for you, he would be violating your right to choose. He gave us free choice, right? He lets us choose, right? Okay. So if God's going to let us choose, then why would he say there's one perfect mate? Good luck. He wouldn't do that. See, if it's true that God said, I've got one perfect mate out there for you, and it's like a huge Where's Waldo kind of a thing, let's see if you can go find that person in this world, God's not into playing games. He doesn't want to. If that's the way God thought, then he would have chosen salvation for everybody, and all of us would be Christians. That's why I threw in your outlines 2 Peter, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all, everybody, should come to repentance. That's his heart. So if that was his heart and he would make the choice for everybody, he'd do that for relationships, he'd do that for salvation, he'd do that for finances and everything. If God chose one person for you out of 5 billion on this planet just for you and did it without your knowledge, did it without your permission, then why would he not choose salvation as well? See, back in Genesis chapter 2, are we doing good this morning? Okay. Genesis chapter 2 says the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into woman, and he brought her to the man. This, by the way, is not, don't read into this too far. We all know that God calls the man to be the spiritual leader of the home. We understand that. This is not about the man brought the woman. See, I'm in charge. I'm in control. Okay, that's not relationship, okay? Relationship is figuring out who you are in Jesus Christ, who you are in Jesus Christ. Now, who are we? Who are we? And what's this relationship going to look like? God brought her to the man and presented her to the man, but Adam still had to make a choice. Providing prospects is God's responsibility. But you making the choice for your mate, that's yours. That's always yours. God will provide opportunities, but it's always up to us to choose. He leaves that to us. In other words, we need to rely on the assistance of the Holy Spirit, but don't attempt to transfer the responsibility to Him. You know, you still got to make a choice in this. So discovering singleness is a whole different thing, because when you learn what it means to be whole and complete, lacking in nothing, then there's no need to depend on anything or anyone else except from apart from Christ. Now, take that with a grain of salt, okay? I'm not saying if you got Jesus, you don't need to care about your mates or your family. You don't need to be kind. You don't need to be loving. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that Christ has to be number one. He's the highest priority. And when He is at the center of your relationships, then you find out that He's your need meter. And you might say, well, Pastor, you would be independent and a self-made person, not have to worry about anything else. No, I'm not saying that either. What I'm saying is that when you learn the principle of singleness, being whole, complete, lacking in nothing, then you don't need your spouse to make you feel important. You know you already are. I love my wife. Now, I'm going to say this. She heard it first service, so she's fine, but hear my heart. I love my wife, but I don't need my wife. You know what I mean? I love that we are who we are, and we have what we have most days. She can say that right back at me, so it's a two-way road here. But I don't need her. What do I need? I need Jesus. I don't need Lisa to make me feel important, except for the first 3 years of our marriage, because I had a lot to learn. But when I place Christ at the center and quit looking to her to be my need meter and Christ to be my need meter, now I become complete and whole, lacking in nothing. And anything else is just icing on the cake. We get to enjoy that together. When you understand the principle of singleness, then all of a sudden, you don't have to, you don't need the constant attention from your significant other, because they're not the source of meeting that need. Christ is. And when Christ is at the center of that, it doesn't mean that you don't need attention. You just don't need that need to be met from them exclusively. But you do from Christ. That's what singleness, that when you understand that principle, then all of a sudden you can come together in relationship. And is it perfect? No. But it's in a perfecting process. It's in a perfecting process. Now, there's nothing wrong with wanting to know you're important. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be in control of situations or wanting attention. There's nothing wrong with that. The only time it becomes wrong is when you allow it to dictate who you are and what you do. So the question on the floor today is simply this. Do you choose singleness? You. And only you can answer that for yourself. Do you really choose singleness? Are you living life and living out relationships so that you can get from others or so that you can give to others? Are you living in life and in relationship so that people can make you feel something? Or do you trust God for that so you can in turn be the blessing to others? That's the question that's on the floor. Singleness is a myth. It's also a choice. And the next one's going to sound kind of strange, but it's completely true. Number three, write this down. God wants you to be single. God wants you to be single. Now, if you're here today and you're single, you just went, get thee behind me. You know, I want a man. I want a woman. I want a relationship. What I mean is He doesn't want you to be single as in never have a relationship. He wants you to be single according to the kingdom principle, being unique and whole and complete, lacking in nothing. And out of those regards, then you can discover who you are in Christ Jesus and move forward. Because if you don't know who you are, by the way, if you don't know who you are in Christ Jesus, if you don't know why you've been saved, if you don't know the fact that you've been forgiven and you don't know that you're gifted and God wants to use you in a mighty, mighty way, what in the world are you going to bring to this relationship? What are you going to bring to it? Maybe you're here today and you're married and you've been married 3 years, 13 years, 20 years, I don't know, whatever number. You might say, this would have been good to know before I got married. Well, it's still good to know now. You might say, I've been married for 5 years and we've been struggling and not really understanding this whole about making Him our source in that. You can do it today. You can do it today, and it might just save something that's going on in your relationship and in your marriage. Apply the principle today. Date your wife, date your husband once again, and you'll find that I'm getting into marriage, so let me back up. Those are the next 2 weeks. We'll get there. But you got to first figure out who you are in Christ Jesus. The most dangerous thing in the area of marriage, by the way, is for two people who have not, first of all, become single to jump right into a marriage. Did you catch that? The most dangerous thing in the area of marriage, I'm talking, is for two people who have not, first of all, become single, unique, complete, whole, lacking in nothing, to jump right into a marriage. Because what will happen is you'll try to get the other person to complete you, and the other one to make you happy, and the other one to make you feel good, and the other one, you know, that's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. And that's why people get burnt out. Figure out what singleness means. Loneliness, a lot of people tell me, they'll say, some people believe that when you marry, if I can just get married, that'll solve all my problems. What you think, married people? Does that solve all your problems? If you're here today and you're single and you think marriage is going to solve all your problems, find a married couple that have been married more than 1 year and ask them what they think about that. And they'll probably give you some good advice. And you'll find out that life still has its struggles. You see, loneliness is only magnified when you're married. If you don't figure out who you are in Christ, loneliness just gets magnified. If you're not unique, separate, whole, complete, lacking in nothing. Many people think that getting married is going to fix it, but there's a difference between happiness and joy. Happiness, I put it in your outlines, it's up on the screen here. Happiness is a result of something that's done unto you or something you experience for a moment, but it can change on a dime. It can change. That means externally. If you want to come up to me today and hand me $100, I will gladly take it because it will make me happy. It's an external thing that's happening that will put a smile on my face, and I'll take it. But let's say you wanted to come and take money away from me. That's not going to make me happy. See, it's affecting me. Whether I'm happy or not is determined by external things that can change. But joy is different. Joy is a state of being. It's something that resides within you even when your world comes crashing down. That's why you can look at somebody. Maybe you're going through a relational tsunami right now. And you were looking and leaning into happiness and you're upset because everything's falling apart. But then you see another couple who their life just fell apart and they're beaming. And they're joyful. And it ticks you off. And it ticks you off because you want to know what is it they have. I'm going to tell you what it is. Joy. They got joy. Joy, joy, joy down in their heart. Remember that song? Yeah, you guys remember that song? It was a little Sunday school song that had so much punch in its truth. Because when you understand joy, your world can fall apart. But then you still got a smile on your face and in your heart. Why? Because it's not about what you have, it's about who you are. But we've got to choose that. Happiness, joy, they're different. And God wants us to be single. He wants us to be single like, I'll never have a relationship, woe is me, I'm miserable. No, that's not, there's a lot of married people that are saying, woe is me, I'm miserable, okay? So it's not about marital status. But if you really want to have a relationship in the sense of husband, wife, fiance, girlfriend, boyfriend, start with saying, Jesus, you know me, I'm not perfect. I haven't talked to you in a while, but I really want this. I want to be right with you, and I want to be right with others. Man, that'd be like ding, 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 ding. That's the greatest commandment, folks. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and the second is likened to it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And when you get that, then God can bring that blessing. Let me take you back to the straw. You try to do it your way or the world's way, you're pinching the McDonald's straw. But when you do it God's way, it opens up a flow of blessing into your life. We've got to catch that. There's such a difference between the two. So, God wants you and me to be unique, complete, whole, lacking in nothing. And then lastly, number four, and this one's going to sound a little odd, but I'm going to ask you to just, we've got to catch this principle of singleness up here if we're going to move into talking about marriage. And number four is, before you love others, you must love yourself. If you don't love yourself, don't try to go any further. Hover here for a moment and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Let him deal with some things in your heart. Because there's too many people that haven't loved themselves and they're unhappy. So if I just get into a relationship, maybe that'll get me over the hump. Or maybe that'll get me through. Or maybe at least I'll have 4 good days out of the 7 through the week instead of 7 bad days. But you see, before you can love others, You've got to love you. I think of when I was just kind of thinking about this message and where it was going, I thought of the great commandment, love God, love others. And the other one was when Jesus looked out amongst the crowd and he said, I see the people as sheep with no shepherd. Remember that? I think I referenced that here in the last 3 or 4 weeks. And he said, I see the people as sheep with no shepherd. And it says that his heart was moved with compassion. His heart was moved with compassion. And it gets me thinking, when's the last time my heart's been moved with anything? You know what I mean by compassion? I'm not just talking about emotion like drama. I'm not just talking about family crisis or anything like that. I'm talking about when you felt, Holy Spirit, I hear you. I sense you're leading me in this direction. That's when he wants you to lean into this. But you see, we're not going to be able to walk through that door unless we love him and then love ourselves. Not for what we've done, not for who we are because we made such a great thing. No, we just simply say, Jesus, I love you and I thank you for all of your blessings. Now, Lord, where I'm weak, help me to be strong. Help me to love myself for who I am in you, not in the world, but in you. Because when you learn to love yourself, it changes things. Adam didn't know he needed somebody. When you and I get to the place where we don't need anybody else in our life, it can become very lonely. So we need to understand what singleness is all about and the power that comes along with it. Not egotistical love. Not, hey, I love God and I love myself, man. Look at me. Looking pretty sharp today. That's cocky. That's arrogant. That's prideful. I'm talking about loving yourself for who you are. Sometimes when you get up in the morning and you look at the mirror, you just go, oh, if I could just be somebody else. And I'm not even just talking about because of the visual reflection you see. It's because you know you. And you know deep down the thoughts that you've had. You know, I hope I never bother people with this, but I try to be as transparent as I can. I'm not perfect. Now, I know you guys know that. But I don't always think the right thoughts. I don't always have the purest thoughts. I'd love to tell you that I'm always, you know, you can't stop a thought from coming into your head, but you can stop it from staying there. You know what I mean? And sometimes when I think about how much God loves me, I'm thinking, why? Why would he? Because I know me. And there's times when, you know, somebody's ticked me off and I'm looking at them and you don't hear the words that are going on in my head, but, you know, I might be thinking, you know, you sorry monkey, who do you think you are? You know, something like that. And though I may not have verbalized that, God knows it was in my heart. And yet he still looks at me and says, I love you. Sometimes the hardest person to love is ourself. Sometimes the reason we don't get to that place in our relationship with God has nothing to do with God. It has everything to do with us. Maybe we're frustrated with ourselves. Maybe we're disgusted with the fact that we can think the way that we think or something. But you know what? God loves you right where you're at. And he loves you for who you are. That's why he says, love God, love others. And you'll find out that though you may look in the mirror and go, uh-oh, I got to love others like I love myself, you and I maybe have to recalibrate our heart, but know this, he's got such a great grace. Gary talked about it earlier. His grace is sufficient for you. Some of you here, you've got a thorn, and you know what it means by that. I don't have time, and I don't want to tell you right now, but I've got my own thorn in my side, a couple of them. But sometimes I just say, God, would you take it away? And he goes, no. I thought you loved me, God. Oh, I do. But my grace is sufficient. Maybe you're going through a season where it's not comfortable in the relationship, but his grace will be sufficient in all that you do.